This is a summary of Think Again by bestbookbriefings.com. Think Again. The Power of Knowing What You Don't Know. By Adam Grant. For a scientist, rethinking is a fundamental part of their job. You're paid to know the limits of your knowledge. You're expected to be skeptical of what you know, be curious about what you don't, and update your views when new data comes along. But being a scientist isn't just a job, it's also a mindset. We become scientists when we look for the truth, when we run experiments to test our hypotheses and learn in the process. A group of European researchers conducted a study with more than 100 Italian startups, and they learned that the most successful participants employed a scientific system where their strategies were theories, customer interviews helped develop hypotheses, and their minimum viable product and prototypes were experiments to test them. Entrepreneurs who thought like scientists knew when it was time to rethink their business models and pivoted quickly. We tend to celebrate great entrepreneurs for being strong-minded, decisive, and certain. But evidence shows that the best strategists are slow and unsure. They take their time, which gives them the flexibility to change their minds. The legend of Apple's rebirth as a company revolves around the idea of Steve Jobs's genius. The story goes that his conviction and clarity of vision gave birth to the iPhone, but the truth is that he was actually dead set against it. Jobs hated cell phone companies, and he promised repeatedly, in both private meetings and public stages, that Apple would never develop a mobile phone. It was his employees who had the vision for it. They did their research, and they worked together to convince him that maybe he was missing out on something. It was possible to build a smartphone that everyone would love and make it Apple's way. Steve Jobs knew how to think different, but his team did most of the rethinking. When we're in scientist mode, we stop our ideas from turning into ideologies. We require ourselves to look for reasons why we might be wrong, not reasons why we might be right. When we preach, we can't see the gaps in our knowledge, because we think we've already found the truth. When we prosecute, we focus on changing other people's minds, but set our own in stone. When we become politicians, we ignore anything that doesn't get us the approval of others. The process of rethinking is a cycle. It starts with intellectual humility, acknowledging that there are things we don't yet know. Recognizing our limits allows us to question our understanding and become curious about what we can learn. As we discover new things, we maintain our humility by establishing that we still have a lot to learn. Knowledge might be power, but knowing what we don't know is wisdom. Dances with Foes: How to Win Debates and Influence People. Debating has been a prized art form for decades, but there's a developing science around how to do it well. In formal debates, your goal is to change the mind of the audience. In informal debates, you're trying to change the mind of your conversation opponent, a sort of negotiation where you're trying to reach an agreement on what is true. A good debate isn't a tug of war, where you can get your opponent on your side by pulling hard enough. It's more like an unchoreographed dance with a partner who has a different set of steps than you had in mind. If you lead too hard, they'll resist, but if you adapt your moves to theirs, you can develop a good rhythm. Neil Rackham led a team of researchers to study what techniques expert negotiators use. They learned that they spent a third of their planning time looking for things they had in common with their opponents. Expert negotiators chose to present fewer reasons for their cause. The more reasons you bring out, the easier it will be for your opponent to pick out the weakest one, which will allow them to dismiss your entire argument. Skilled negotiators move talks forward by asking questions frequently, subtly leading their partners onward. You can't change other people's minds if you aren't willing to change your own. Demonstrating openness by acknowledging where you agree or even learn from them shows that you aren't a hypocrite just trying to push your own agenda. Convincing other people isn't just about establishing a solid case. It's also about establishing that we have the right motives behind it. We're scientists trying to reach the truth. That's not the way we've always done it, building cultures of learning at work. Rethinking isn't just an individual skill. It's a collective ability that heavily depends on the culture of an organization. Rethinking is more like to occur in a learning culture that values growth. Evidence shows that cultures like these cultivate innovation and cut down on mistakes. Learning cultures thrive due to a combination of two factors: psychological safety and accountability. Psychological safety has become a workplace buzzword in the past few years. Although leaders might grasp its importance, they often struggle to understand what it is and how to create it. Psychological safety isn't a matter of relaxed standards and comfortable people. It's about developing a space of respect, trust, and openness. When people feel psychologically safe, they can raise their concerns and ideas without being afraid of being shot down or punished. Cultures that favor performance will often be detrimental towards psychological safety. When people are punished for their mistakes, they start to worry about proving their worth and competence. There's a real pressure to conform to authority, and people will limit their own behavior in order to protect their careers. The standard advice for managers who want to foster psychological safety is to present openness and inclusivity. You ask for feedback on how to improve, thus encouraging people to take risks. But an experiment I launched found that a different approach showed less immediate impact but led to a sustainable gain in psychological safety later. Team managers who shared their past experiences with receiving feedback, as well as the times they benefited from constructive criticism, found that their members were more comfortable with opening up and providing useful feedback. By admitting their own imperfections out loud, these managers showed that they could handle criticism and publicly committed to remaining open. Psychological safety can't be instantly created. Many of the managers who discussed their weaknesses to their team initially felt awkward and anxious. Their members were surprised and unsure how to respond. Some of them were even mistrusting, thinking that their managers might just be fishing for compliments or looking for comments that put them in a good light. Over time, as managers continued to show humility and curiosity, this dynamic changed for the better. It takes confidence to admit that we're still works in progress, and it shows that we're more concerned about improving ourselves than proving ourselves. If that mindset spreads within your organization, it can encourage people to speak up. But mindsets aren't enough to remake a culture. Psychological safety erases the fear of challenging authority, but it doesn't motivate us to come up with the questions themselves. An organization also needs a specific kind of accountability, one that makes people rethink their best practices. People often get too attached to best practices, especially in performance cultures. The risk inherent in this is that once we've declared a practice as the best, we effectively stop it from improving. Focusing on results can be good for the short term, but it can block long-term learning in the process. When people are only held accountable for if their outcomes are successes or failures, they're more likely to repeat their courses of action, flaws and all. People are incentivized to do things the way they've always done them. By evaluating how carefully a decision is made, we can create accountability not only for the outcome, but for the process itself. Bad decision processes are based on shallow thinking. Good processes are grounded in deep thinking and rethinking. Research shows that when we have to explain the procedures behind our decisions, we tend to think critically and think of the possibilities more thoroughly. Just because a decision's outcome is positive doesn't make it a success. If the process was shallow, then it was just luck. If it was deep, then it can be counted as an improvement, as you've developed a better practice. If a decision's outcome is negative, it's only a failure because of a shallow process. If a decision was evaluated thoroughly, but it still fails, then it counts as a smart experiment. The best time to risk experiments is when decisions are fairly inconsequential. Too many leaders look for guarantees that results will be favorable before putting time and money into something new. Psychological safety without accountability lets people stay within their comfort zone. Accountability without psychological safety breeds silence and anxiety. When the two are combined, a learning zone emerges. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.